This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Five Fat Chicks. And this episode is going to be super quirky. It's all about food and games.
This is a mega-sized snack for you. We just got a copy of Trivial Pursuit Singles. We got the R&R edition, and it kind of inspired us to finally get off our butts and do an episode that we've talked about for a while.
We weren't sure if we'd have enough content, so this is probably just going to be a mega-sized snack. But the Trivial Pursuit is for two players...
Or more.
But two players works really well. And as Tracy said, it's a travel edition. We picked it up in our Walmart for $12.95 Canadian, so it's probably about $10 American. And there's a bunch of... The R&R edition is, like, hugely food-centric. It has fun and games, party occasions, apps and snacks, dinner and drink, travel spots, chillin' and thrillin'. Those are the different categories.
But even most of the categories have food content in them, which we...
Yeah, or drinks.
It's more like the Trivia Pursuit Foodie Travel Edition. It's very cool.
Yeah, and it's really fun. We played it. We picture it as a game that you can take with you to the pub if you wanted your own trivia, if you wanted to take it with you on a picnic. It's just a fun way to
pass the time. Keep it in the car. If you're stuck at a restaurant with a long wait, you know, pull it out, play a quick game.
Yeah.
We've been known to do that, and we've had a long wait for a seat someplace before.
Definitely.
So, well, not with this, but with other games, we've done that. So, it's a very neat little set. I was impressed with it. I was impressed with the questions. I think they're some of the better written Trivial Pursuit questions we've seen.
Yeah.
They aren't all crazy and...
The wording isn't...
Bizarrely worded, yeah.
Just designed to stump you.
Yeah. If you have to read it three times before you figure out what it's about, then maybe it's needed to be rewritten, so... Very cool. So, on to... Games.
So, let's start with electronic games, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about was food in massive online games, because I know that usually there's a food component, and with the crafting systems where you can have your character make different things that you can use, food usually plays a pretty big role, and in the game that I play, Lord of the Rings Online, it's just hilarious and really, really gives you a flavor for the game with the cuisine that would be in Middle Earth. Like, there's a Hobbit picnic, and you need a roast chicken, a wedge of cheese, and an apple pie for it. The flavor text on it is, to most Denizens of Middle Earth, a mobile picnic, but for a Hobbit, this is a snack.
Yeah.
And the flavor text on the different ingredients is fun, too, like the delicious crispy bacon. If this was cooked anymore, it would be burnt, but it's not, so it's perfect.
Which is how bacon should be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I think if you're... cooking bacon and it's only flippy floppy, you haven't cooked it enough.
No rubbery bacon.
Yes, bacon should snap. Should be like a good sausage. You know, a bite of sausage and it snaps.
I like bacon. Bacon be crispy. Yes.
And then food in wargs goes back even further than Lord of the Rings Online, even back to EverQuest. When I first met Sheila, I was playing EverQuest Online, and I was telling her how I was hunting spiders in the game.
Which is funny, because Tracy doesn't like spiders.
I hate spiders.
In real life.
Yes. And I was collecting spider legs so I could make furry spider crunchies, which are like little spider leg cookies. And there were all these other neat little quirky recipes in the game, like brownies. You actually had to kill real brownies to get the brownie ingredients. And kind of gruesome when you think about it. And the food in the game didn't really do anything for you. It just gave you something to give to people, and it was a fun social thing.
Right.
Whereas in Lord of the Rings Online, food...
It restores your health.
Yes.
Like in many other video games.
Yes, it has a purpose. But it didn't in EverQuest. Now, did Dark Ages of Camelot have anything with it?
I think it did have a cooking element, but I can't remember for the life of me what it was.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think it really did
much for you. Yeah, it's not quite like... Well, in Lord of the Rings, you can just find ingredients by walking around. You can find taters just lying on the ground. You can find green onions.
Not rutabagas. That other stuff that you make pie out of, strawberry pie.
Rhubarb?
Rhubarb.
You just find rhubarb just growing wild, and if you're walking around, you can just pick stuff up.
Every time I turn around, I'm finding rhubarb. Like, I don't know what to do with it. I don't make the recipe it needs, but I have these, like, stacks of rhubarb in my little storage area.
Right. There's probably, like, a rhubarb pudding that you're going to make with it later once you're a higher level.
Oh, thank God the game's not true to life and stuff doesn't rot, because I'd be surrounded by rotting rhubarb. So.
Your bank vault would be... Fly blown.
Yes. Man, we need you to come clean out your vault. Your food has rotted. And get these little emails from the game. No. But it's really... I think in Lord of the Rings it adds a lot to the feel of the game because food is such a central part to Hobbits.
Yeah. And in Lord of the Rings in general, I mean, look at the feast halls from the Horse Masters and Rohan. That's one of the other things you can make is the Feast of Rohan, and it's got like a roast cut of beef and mm-hmm. some roasted potatoes and stuff.
Well, even just to understand what hobbits are about. They're all about food between, you know, we have six meals a day or something, too.
Yeah.
The parts in the movie of they've lit a fire when they shouldn't know so they can cook.
Right.
Or they where Sam and Frodo run into Merry and Pippin while they're stealing produce.
Yeah.
They're very food-oriented people, which we're
kinda
hobbits.
Like us.
We're kind of short, kind of squat. We like food. Sheila even has hobbit hair. She wants to go collecting mushrooms someday.
Yes.
Yes. I point her out to people. It's the one that looks like a hobbit. Oh, her.
And it must be true, because that's how people can find me.
Yes. Look for the tall hobbit. And, food in games, or food in video games goes back even further. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Is, like, the original eating video game.
Going around, waka, 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 waka.
Yeah, the whole point of games eats everything.
Eating fruit.
Yes. You go for the food pellets, the regular pellets, and the little fruit, and the pretzels, and the bananas, and...
Cherries.
When I was a kid, that was so exciting to watch my dad play it and see what new food was going to come out next for Pac-Man to go after. I don't know, I was always obsessed with bananas because I liked bananas. I thought the pretzels looked cool, too, because it was like one of the only non-fruit items
in
the game.
In 8-bit, you can see, it's pretty recognizable. I mean, look at Mario.
I don't even think Atari was 8-bit.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that's true. You can tell it's recognizable, and it's a case of art imitating life,
mm-hmm.
where you put in the things that you see around you. Because, I mean, you could tell it's a pretzel.
Yes.
You know, definitely. You could tell it's a mushroom in Super Mario.
Yeah. And there's even later Mario games where you get to cook a little bit and mix things together. Super Mario RPG. Paper Mario has some combining elements to cook. So it's definitely in there. It's important. Castlevania.
Yeah.
Where you'd find all these random foods.
In Fact Xanadu, you kill the monsters and they drop bread.
Yes.
That's like old school, again, in the same vein as Castlevania and Super Mario.
Yeah.
And usually the food does something. Usually it restores your health. And then you see in later video games, like...
Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, where...
San Andreas, yes.
The food will restore your health, but if you eat too much of it without exercising, you can become portly.
In Fable 2.
And Fable 2,
where you can eat, and the food does different things to you, and it'll give you different bonuses, but it'll also, like, corrupt you if you eat too much bad-for-you food, which I thought was really strange. Because certain foods are bad, and certain, like, vegetables are good, and they'll restore purity, whereas if you eat too much meat, apparently you're a bad person. I think vegetarians are behind it.
Maybe.
That underground vegetarian movement in video games, I guess.
Well, look at, too, the Elder Scrolls with Oblivion.
Yeah.
You can walk around, you can find... You can pick mushrooms mm-hmm. and different funguses and lichens for alchemy, but if you eat them, it gives you different effects. It might boost your, like, ale boosts your personality,
yeah.
but it lowers your intelligence and endurance.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're hilarious, but you can't run as fast. Don't say, hold my ale, watch this.
Yes.
Famous that last starts, words for that, an adventurer.
That ends with game over. So
continue?
Yes, please.
And in Fallout 3 has some really entertaining food, because it's all, like, 1950s prepackaged Wave of the Future food.
Yes.
Like the Cram, which is like a Spam, and Fancy Lad snack cakes, and...
The Merlot cakes that are made from the one monster
Find
the meat.
Oh, Mirelurk cakes?
Mirelurk cakes,
which
yeah.
are like crab cakes, they're made from the giant crab monsters.
Which probably are delicious.
Yeah, and there's, if you find the King Mirelurk, he gives you soft shell Mirelurk meat.
Yes.
Which is the best kind.
That always makes me want to go out and get a spider roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and
me too.
Soda is a big part of Fallout 3 as
with
well.
With Nuka-Cola.
The Nuka-Cola and the Nuka-Cola Quantum.
Yes.
Which is a special flavor of Nuka-Cola that glows in the dark.
Yeah, it happened just before the war, and you find out if you do this one mission or this one quest that it actually was really, really horrible and it didn't sell very well at all, but there's this one chick that wants it all, so if you go to her with 30 of them, she'll... give you
something
money
cool.
and XP, yeah.
Yeah.
And something cool.
But food's actually a pivotal part of Fallout, because
mm-hmm.
it's a quick way to heal. You can eat a lot of the things you find in there. And then there's the games that are based on food alone.
Yes.
And one of the early ones was Root Beer Tapper.
Oh, really?
Remember on Atari?
No.
You
You're going
to
tell this story.
Yeah, Root Beer Tapper. You have to tap and serve root beers.
Hmm.
And there's kind of like an homage to that in Fable 2, where you're serving beer. You have to tap beers and serve them.
Oh, wow. I didn't
at a
even
certain
know that.
Pace. Yeah. That was kind of neat. But
we never had an Atari, so I didn't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a big geek. My parents are big geeks, and both my parents still play video games, and they're in their 60s, and Mom has her own DS. I had to beg my father when I got a Game Boy to get one for my mother, because she stole my Game Boy and wouldn't give it up. She was obsessed with Tetris.
That was so then, cute when your dad and your mom went to go buy a Wii. And the please, Mr. Simpson stock boy is like, I bet your grandkids will love this. And your dad's like, it's for me.
Yeah, we went to Best Buy with my parents, and we're just kind of walking down the aisle, and this cartload of Wiis goes by. And my dad switches into, like, 12-year-old mode, and he's like, Wiis? I didn't know they had them here right now. And he just follows the cart. He just wanders off following this cartload of Wiis.
And I could see your mom doing the mental tallying to make sure that
yeah,
they could afford to make that purchase at that particular point in time. And she's like, okay, I'm not going to stop him.
Yeah, she's like, okay, that's fine. And he just disappears. And he comes back, like, 20 minutes later, and he has the Wii in his hands, and he's talking to the guy about what games to get, and he's asking me, oh, what should I get? And that's when the guy's like, I think your grandkids will love this window. It's for them.
Yes.
So they're pretty hardcore. They've been around the block a few times on the video game route.
They can play together.
Yeah.
You know, your parents do that together. I know they play the Wii together. They play the PS2?
Mm-hmm.
They play together as well.
Mm-hmm. And, another food game from way back in the day was the Kool-Aid game. And
you got it
by getting Kool-Aid points.
I remember that, but I never had it.
There was an Atari one. There might have been an NES one further down the line. But I remember my sister and I saved up a pile of little Kool-Aid points so we could order the Kool-Aid game for Atari. And we still have the old Atari from when I was a kid. It's in the closet, and we have a little Kool-Aid game with it. And it was so cheesy, but it was so fun. Because, you know, it was the early 80s.
And you were young then, too,
yeah,
so it was cool.
Yeah. But games that are totally based on food. The quintessential food game is Cooking Mama.
Oh, yes.
And we love Cooking Mama.
Cooking Mama is a lot of fun because you can play it together.
The Wii version.
And you get to swing the controller around like you're chopping and
stirring,
shaking things,
yeah,
and stirring things. Yeah. And
twisting
sauteing
things.
Sauteing.
Ripping the legs off the little shrimpies and things.
That was hilarious. Rip.
I know. Like, I feel bad.
Well, it's already cooked. It's dead.
And we kind of wonder about what the Japanese think of American cuisine, because the game has different ethnicities of food. There's Japanese, Chinese, French, Italian,
British,
and American. I don't think I missed anything in there.
I think there's actually Russian or German.
I think there's German, too. I think there was, like, a bratwurst thing.
Well, there's pierogies.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they count that as. I think they put it in as Russian. So, all these cuisines that you make have multiple steps.
There's like 10, 12 steps to each thing, usually.
Yeah, like the French ones were really kind of complicated.
Involved.
Yeah. It was kind of cool to do the cream puffs.
Yeah.
Those were fun. You had to fill a little cream puff, but not too full. So you get to the American ones, and I think the first recipe we unlocked for the American food was hot dogs.
We failed it the first time.
So all it is you have this bun, and you're moving it back and forth across the screen.
You have to catch the hot dog as it drops from the
yeah,
top of the screen.
And the
you
condiments.
You have to catch the condiments. So, eventually, at the end of it, we had a bun and a slice of cheese, and that was it. Because we missed the hot dog, and we missed all the relish and all that other stuff.
Yeah. And we're like, wow, that looks delicious. But we passed, kind of.
Yeah, it's like a bun with condiments.
Yeah, so you know, had the one-step American recipe, and then we had popcorn, where all you do is you shake the little popper.
Like Jiffy Pop.
Yeah, like Jiffy Pop, and we're thinking, these are the American recipes. Man, they must not think very much of our food.
And they could have, like, picked a bunch of, like, Pennsylvania Dutch stuff. They could
like
have
apple
done, like,
pie.
Or shoe fly pie, or macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
That's a quintessential American one.
Burgers.
You
know, you have to form the patty and fry it and toast the bun or something. I mean, there's
slice
more.
Slice the condiments.
Slice the condiments. There's more they could have done. But it's an awesome game, totally food-based, and I told Sheila that I actually learned something from it to use in the kitchen. It was when I was making sushi rice. Because on the DS version, you blow into the little microphone to cool the rice, which simulates the fanning, and then you use the stylus to cut the rice, because you can't really stir sushi rice or it'll get extra starchy.
It'll cut the granules. And
yeah, so you want it to be like full grains of rice for the sushi. So well, first time I made it when we moved to Canada, I was making tamago. I just for some reason decided to dump the rice out onto our big cutting board, and I started fanning it and cutting it like I did in the Cooking
Mama
game with a chopstick. And it worked really well. It cooled really fast. It was still in pretty good sized clumps. I didn't have little bits, smashed bits of rice all over the place like I did the first time I did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost ended up with rice pudding the first time.
Mm.
You know, sweet vinegar flavored rice pudding, yum. What everybody wants for dessert.
Throw some raw fish on that. That's called sushi.
Oh, I just imagined, like, rice pudding with a slab of raw tuna on it. That's
That's not good eats.
That's not good eats. But it worked. I don't think Cooking Mama will make anybody a good cook, but
it's interesting
teach you some basic
techniques.
Yeah.
were actually applicable.
And there's a Gordon Ramsay game, Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, there's a Hell's
Kitchen.
Yeah.
Which we
I'm curious as to what it is.
We haven't checked it out yet. I think that might be a rental. Kind of see what it is, because we're Gordon Ramsay fans. He says a bad word a lot. We like that bad word. It makes us happy. So we're willing to check out his game and see how it is.
So I guess we can move on to board games then.
Oh, I want to talk about Kingdom of Loathing, though.
Oh, right. Go ahead.
Yes. So, with computer games, and there's also, before I get to Kingdom of Loathing, there's also the diner games. It's like a genre that's out all over cell phones and things.
Yeah.
Where you have to serve different tables and run around with the food, and the better you
diner Dash?
Diner Dash. There's a Cake Mania that's almost the same thing. And those are kind of fun little food-oriented games. I used to have one on my cell phone.
Yeah. And I see them, the like, flash games that you can play online, too.
And they're really neat.
Yeah, you have to make sure that you get the food out before it gets cold and send the checks out before people leave. And
yeah, it's like restaurant simulators have become not a big deal, but they're like a burgeoning little mini industry, especially when it comes to the quick, like, you have 10 minutes to kill kind of games, which is cool. And I know they did, like, Restaurant Tycoon. We never bought it. I'd like to try it sometime, those sorts of games. But Kingdom of Loathing is a turn-based online game that's free. It's at www.kingdomofloathing.com. All you need is an email address to sign up. It's a fairly family-safe game. I wouldn't let, like, an 8-year-old play it, because I don't think they'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
But you have a 12- or 13-year-old, they'd probably just totally get a kick out of the game.
Well, and the artwork is hilarious, too, because it's bad on purpose. It's like little stick figures.
Yes. And the whole thing is a parody. The entire purpose of the game is to poke fun of pop culture. And when you play it, no matter what your age is, you're going to pick up on a lot of pop culture references. If you're a kid, you're going to pick up on some of the newer ones that have kind of flown past me lately.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're a little bit older, you're going to pick up on some of the older pop culture references, too. Like, the one area is the Oasis. And everything that is there when you adventure is based on, like, rock bands. So you fight the Beatles. There's, like, little scarabs with the heads of John Lennon and them on them. And they drop things like Maxwell's Silver Hammer, which is a weapon you can use in the game.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I mean, they get really, really good with some of the references they make. But food is a pivotal part of the game. It's, like, integral to the system. And even to the point where, of the character classes they have, which are all tongue-in-cheek, the magical classes are based on cooking. There's a pasta mancer, there's a sorcerer, the disco bandit. No, that's the thief. There's
accordion thief?
Accordion thief's the thief. The disco bandit is the bartender in the game. Mm-hmm. And you need to make drinks and make food if you plan to play the game a lot, because the more you eat and drink, the more turns you get in the game.
Yeah.
You start every day with 40 turns. It doesn't go very far. But if you eat really good food that you made, your turns go for you get more turns. You've got like 20 turns.
Right.
If you eat crap food, you only get 2 or 3. And there's everything in the game. Probably over 200-300 different types of food. Some you make, some you find. And they are hilarious. I mean, and the flavor text on them are great. Very tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mega tofu block.
Oh, God. It's all wiggling and sitting there with no flavor.
and there's these noodle. If you're a pasta mancer, one of your skills is you can summon dry noodles every day so many times.
Huh.
And dry noodles is one of the basic ingredients for some of the best food in the game. And you can make lo mains with it, which you make a stir fry, and then you combine that with the dry noodles and it becomes a lo main, you know, like olive lo main or whatever.
Yeah.
But then if you want to make the really good stuff, it's called a high main. And you have to make these sauces, sweet and sour sauce, hot and sour sauce, spooky and sour sauce, and these relate to the stats in the game. And you mix those with the noodles and the other things that you've made, and you make like a hot high main, spooky high main, sleazy high main, that kind of thing. And when you eat those, you get lots of turns, and you get a buff out of it, too.
Yeah.
And it's...
And drinking is a big part of the game, too.
Yeah, because you can get turns off of drinking. But if you drink...
Of course, it's in moderation.
Yes, because if you drink too much, and you have a little counter on the side that tells you when you're getting too tipsy, you get too drunk, and you can't play the rest of your turns. Because if you try, you get drunk adventures. What hurts you or take your meat.
And meat is the currency in the game.
Yes, and even this little, like...
Sorry, vegetarians.
Instead of a dollar sign, you have, like, a little steak sign on the corner.
Yeah.
So for your meat. And, like, if you hang out in the chat in the game, there's meat beggars that beg for meat.
Meat, please.
Meat, please. No, go away. And it's very, very cool. And the drinks are, again, hilarious. They're all parodies of real drinks.
Right.
Well, they have real ones in there, too. You have martinis and whiskey sours and those sorts of things. And then some of the more complicated drinks that give you more stuff are the ones that are really funny. Like, the White Canadian, which is... It's a White Russian, but it's a Canadian. And you get a... It's called Canadianity for so many turns when you drink it, and it gives you a certain buff. There's a May West, which I actually think is a real drink.
I think so, too.
But the flavor text on that is again, very amusing. There's, Bungle in the Jungle, which is a banana-based drink. Zombies, yeah, but the zombies are misspelled in the game, so the zombies are misspelled for the thing. It's Z-M-O-B-I-E-S or something.
Poking fun at people who can't type properly.
Yes, but every time you drink something, you get a new flavor text, and the first time you drink it, you want to read it, because it's usually, you get
pretty
a chuckle.
Funny. Yeah.
You get a chuckle out of it. And it's a big business in the game, too, because they have a mall in the game where you can set up a little storefront and sell items, and the big sellers are usually foods and drinks. And you can make a lot of meat off of that and support your character and do more. And it's all free. You can donate to the game, and you get perks for donating that are totally worth it if you're going to play it a lot. And I've donated a few times because I wanted the cool little items of the month.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. You can do perfectly well in the game if you're willing to work at it.
It's nice if you like the game, though, to support the guys that run it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And it's, you would almost call it a lunch hour game. Because you can really play all your turns in your lunch hour if you've got access to a computer. Or if
it's something that can get through most companies' filters. If you've done all your work, because we're not advocating slacking unless all of your work is done.
Slack. Listen to us at work, please. Introduce us to your bosses. They'll enjoy us, too. Yes, we should be shared at work. Put a sign up for us in the break room that everybody should listen to us. Please do so. And if your boss says we told you, you tell your boss we told you to do it, we'll deny everything. So you're on your own. If you fail at your mission, we will not acknowledge your existence.
We will deny all plausibility.
Yes. So one of my favorite games, food-based, caught my attention right away. Everybody should check it out. I think that covers all the online and video games.
Yeah, all the electronic games.
Yeah.
So let's move to quirky, fun, geek games. Usually they're board games or card games. Outside the realm of just Monopoly and Scrabble.
And most of these aren't games that you can get at, like, Walmart or Toys R Us.
You pretty much have to go to a hobby store, comic store, or gaming store to get them, generally. Or you can get them online.
You have to go to a geek store. We're sorry. We're going to send you into a nest of frothing geeks with all their magic cards and 20-sided dice.
Who knows? You might like it.
Yes. Try it. Come to the dark side. Come to the dork side.
Yes. So... The first game you wanted to talk about was...
One of my all-time favorite card games. It's from the mid-90s from a company called Cheap Ass Games.
The Cheap Ass Games were games that just gave you the rules and the cards. Because apparently the biggest cost for producing a game is the dice and the little plastic men that you use to mark your place. So they said, well, here, most people have dice, most people have... either coins or little plastic things that you can steal from your other board games.
Or money. Go pillage your
penny jar or something.
Yes, or your Monopoly sets or your 14 games that you bought or somebody bought you for your birthday that you didn't like.
And it makes it way cheaper because these games are usually around... The basic sets are usually around $6...
To $8
American.
I've seen... Well, as time went on, they crept up close to $10, but they were still a bargain.
Yeah.
I don't think that cheap-ass... is around anymore as a functional company. I think the site's still there, and you can still buy some of their games, but I don't really think they're making much anymore.
They might have been bought out by somebody else, too.
I think they just went on to other things.
Yeah.
But they came out in the mid-90s, early 90s, and one of the first games they put out, which might have been the first game, was by James Ernest, who did most of the games for Cheap Ass. Very, very clever man. He's actually somebody who I'd love to meet and get an autograph from him, if that's geeky.
Yeah.
You know, I would go to a convention and, like, pass up all the big-name artists and big-name, like, designers and be like, you're the guy that did that zombie game I really liked. But he did a game called Give Me the Brain. And the premise is you're a zombie in hell, and you work at a fast food restaurant, and you want to go home. But to go home, you have to finish all your work.
Get rid of all your cards.
Get rid of all your cards. And you need the brain to do your job, and there's only one brain in the whole restaurant for everybody who works there to share. Because you're a zombie, you know? How many brains do you think they're going to give zombies? So, to do your work, you have to steal the brain from other people in the game. And the cards are hilarious.
Yeah.
The flavor text is hilarious.
Like, the pickles are watching me.
Yes. And as, what is it? Are you still serving breakfast? Do you mean, like, now? Or in general? That's one of the cards that gives you an opportunity to steal the brain from somebody. And it's just a quirky little game. Anybody who's ever worked in fast food will really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what, 70% of the population, probably?
Yeah.
At some point, everybody's done a tour of duty, so
even
to speak.
Even if you were just a teenager, it was your first job.
Exactly. When I found the game in college, and I still worked at Burger King for a while, I used to refer to going to work as, I'm going to go play live action, give me the brain.
And the game just comes with the cards.
Yep.
And that's pretty much all you need, but you do need a brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be anything. It could be, like, a shoe, it could be a coin,
a special
whatever.
Die. When I was back in high school, the people I role-played with regularly, somebody had bought a bottle of Dave's Insanity Sauce. And I guess at one point it used to come with a little brain on the lid. A little plastic brain. So we used that for the brain for a while. And then when I met Sheila and we moved to West Virginia, we went to the one Halloween store that used to pop up every year at the Elusive Skull. And they had the little latex brains. They're like, what, 3-4 inches long?
Yeah.
It was hollow, squishy. So we bought one of those and we cut open the bottom. And then we would keep the cards in there with the little dice. So you had your little brain holder.
Yep.
It was so fun. And I ended up buying card protectors for it because I liked the game so much and I didn't want anybody to spill stuff on it because it never failed. If we played it, it usually involved, later on, after college, it involved beer.
Right.
Or drinks and food, and you didn't want to get your stuff all messed up because it got harder to find.
Right. Well, you don't want, even if you're just eating chips, you don't want to get them all greasy.
Yeah. And the artwork on it is quirky but very basic because it's a cheap-ass game. It's all black and white on cardstock. We're not talking about a fine quality product. They're all about the content of the game. They did do a special edition later on that has color cards in it, and they're really slick, like, playing cards. And
yeah, they have a matte finish on them.
Somebody would appreciate that for a Christmas gift from someone she loves someday.
Hmm.
Just saying. So.
But you do have the special edition of the sequel.
I do. And the sequel, also food-based, Lord of the Fries. And Sheila, I think Sheila likes Lord of the Fries a little better.
Well, it's because I've been on the receiving and the giving end of it. Although on the giving end, it was by accident. It was like, did you grab that already? Oh my god, I wasn't finished making it.
It's also called DPDO the game. So, Lord of the Fries, you get a hand of cards. And the cards are random ingredients. There was cow, chicken, bun, cheese, drink, fries, fish, which had like tentacles on it.
I want to say there was, like, lettuce and tomato, too. Maybe.
I don't think there's lettuce and tomato. No.
Okay.
That might have been in the special edition, but I don't think so. And there's a menu, and somebody would roll to start the game to pick an item off the menu. And they would call, like, a certain value meal that would be, like, a burger value meal. So you'd need bun, cow, cheese, fries, and a drink to make it. And if it was your turn, you're the first person to go, you'd see if you had the ingredients dealt in your randomly dealt hand to make it. And if you couldn't do it, it would go to the next person. If they couldn't do it, it would go to the next person, all the way around. And if it got all the way back to you and nobody could make the item, you got to pick one item, whatever you wanted, that you didn't have to add to the order to see if you could make it. So you could say, well, I don't have the cheese, so I'll make it without the cheese. And you got to make it and get the points for it. And you play to a certain point total. And if you couldn't make it, it would again go to the next person and again all the way around. And if it got back to you a second time, then you could ditch two items in the order. So as you get to the end of the game where most of the cards are gone, you're down to a couple cards in your hand, you would have things go all the way around the circle like four times to the point where this poor customer from this fast food in hell, all we got was like a bun
and a drink.
Or a bun and cheese. That was it. No drink, nothing. And we've been on the receiving end of it a few times. This is in a restaurant that won't be named in Aurelia. I ordered it once. It was supposed to have, like, mushrooms and onions and cheese and bacon and chicken on it. And I got it, and all it had was chicken
and
cheese.
Chicken.
No, there's cheese. And I'm like, Lord of the Fries.
Oh, yes.
Live action right there. And that's one that's also a special edition. And the special edition was so cute because it came in a little takeout box when I ordered it the first time.
I
think now it's in a regular box.
Probably.
But originally it came in a little takeout box. It was so cute.
Then there's also Ninja Burger,
mm-hmm.
introduced to us by the board game aficionados.
The Corruptors.
Blake and Carrie. In Ninja Burger, you are a delivery boy for a fast food place, and you're a ninja. So some of the crazy places you have to deliver food are like gangster hideouts, government facilities, things like that. And other ninjas will try and stop you, mm-hmm. and you get honor for completing your mission.
And it's a cool little game.
It's really fun.
Yeah, that one's, that's not a cheap-ass game. That's by Steve Jackson Games.
Yeah, same people that do Munchkin.
Yeah, and it runs closer to $25, $30, depending on where you are. But it's totally worth it.
It's fun, because you can play it in, like, half an hour to 45 minutes, depending on how many people are playing.
If you have some massive 7-8 player game, you're going to take
longer. It's
going
to be a couple hours, yeah. But it's still a lot of fun.
And I think they do have an expansion for that now, too.
Oh, that'd be
I
cool.
I think. I thought I saw it the last time we were at someplace geeky. But neat food-based game. And there's another one out that Blake and Carrie saw. I think they picked up at Gen Con. They want to play with us called Wasabi. And it's a sushi game. So, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. It's
exactly.
A game. It has sushi. We're there.
We should eat sushi while we're playing it.
Like, Blake and Carrie are infamous for showing up at gatherings
with
some
crazy
new
games.
Game that they get everybody addicted to. And then the next time they show up, there's another new game. We're like, oh!
But I don't have the last one you brought.
Yeah. Yeah, they've missed their true calling as being, like, promotional reps for game companies or
something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
But I think that
so,
just
think
about
that
does
much wraps
it for
it up.
All of our food-based games that we've run into. Except for that one D&D game I ran.
Oh, yeah. You want to go ahead and tell about that.
This is, again, our deep, dark secret. We're true geeks. We're losing listeners left and right now.
Or gaining loyalty with the ones that we have.
Yes. All six of you, we love you. So... way back in the day when I was a baby geek in my larval stages and I'd run D&D for my friends, I used to get a magazine called Dungeon, and it was put out by the company that made Dungeons & Dragons, TSR at the time, now Wizards of the Coast, and you, the magazine would have different adventures in it. It was really cool, and they'd do a special April edition, just like Dragon, the other magazine, would do a special April edition. It was always full of, like, joke stuff and quirky stuff. Things that weren't meant to be used for real.
And but everybody would.
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah. Everybody needs a salad shooter plus five. So, one of the magazines that came for April for Dungeon had an adventure in it where you had to go rescue, your people had to go rescue these little frog creatures from an ogre restaurant before they were cooked for their frog legs. And it was like a French restaurant.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was great. And you had, like, different magical items in it, like a Julia Child grimoire, and the salad shooter plus five, and these neat stuff. The ogres were, like, chef magicians.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was...
I remember that.
It was cool.
They had French names, too.
Mm-hmm. It was very, very cool. I ran it, like, three times, I think. I've enjoyed it so much. It's one of my favorite modules to run for people. So if you've got old copies of Dungeon lying around, look for that, or... If you have them on PDF because you've done something naughty, like download them. Which I can't really blame people for doing.
It's out of print
totally
now.
Out of print now. It's not like you're taking money away from someplace.
Well, they were doing a thing where you could actually buy all the issues on DVD, didn't they?
At one point, yeah. And then you could
get them
up
on
your computer. So you can find that. That is a fun game. And you can adapt it to almost any system.
Yeah, you can use it as source material for either newer editions, because we're up to 4th edition now. Or you can take it and put it into other game worlds, depending on whatever you're playing.
Maybe that's why I have so many mixed reactions to French food. Because I think of ogres now.
French
ogres. Killing sentient frogs for their legs.
Hmm.
That might be where some of the quirks
deep-seated
come from.
Animosity to French cooking comes
Podcasting
from.
Podcasting is also good therapy.
Indeed.
So, I think we're out.
That's pretty much it.
That's about it.
But we really wanted to do a little episode on how food... Not only is all around you,
it's fun.
It's fun, and it's in the gaming element as well.
So if you're a big geek, go look for this food-based game. So this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we're Spy Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the Spy Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.